Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate the company. We're going to be joined right now by our good friend, Brittany Merlot. That's how we kick things off around here. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing all right.
I feel a beat off. I'm going to be honest. I feel a beat off. I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to catch up to that that second I'm off here right now. So I'm all right. I will say this. It does look like it is clearing up a little bit out there, Brittany.
Yes, it does. So we woke up with a moderate air quality. You know, we still got a little bit of that wildfire smoke lingering. The clouds are pretty much gone. We've got blue skies, and we're going to heat things up today. I'm talking high heat, high humidity. Temperatures probably in the upper 80s, and with the humidity, it's going to feel like the low to mid 90s today. So a ton of sunshine, warmth, and a little bit breezy, too. Winds around 20 miles per hour, so hopefully that'll help with the heat a little bit. But we got a little bit of that tomorrow to a slice of warmth before we get smacked with some strong to severe thunderstorms expected by tomorrow afternoon. And of course, those again packing a lot of rainfall. Another 1 to 2 inches could fall quickly with those storms. And we're also looking at risks of high damaging winds and a tornado or two as well. So an active day tomorrow. I just want to give y'all a heads up, but that front does cool us down. So extreme heat today. Normal summer tomorrow, and then low 70s on Thursday. Refreshing.
Yeah. Brittany, we've got the largest water ski show tournament in the world going on here coming up on this Thursday. It kicked, it kicks off this Thursday. It'll be going from Thursday till this weekend. Any look at the weather ahead on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Thursday, we have a teeny tiny chance of a few pop-up showers. No big deal at all. Again, very comfortable temperatures in the low 70s. Then a high pressure settles in, so Friday is fantastic. No worries, ton of sunshine, upper 70s, just a perfect day. Saturday, we do have chances for showers and storms as the front moves through. It's going to be upper 70s, about a 50% chance of rain. But then on Sunday, beautiful, partly sunny, 80 degrees, no complaints. So Saturday and maybe Thursday, some trouble.
Oh, good to know, good to know.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Brittany. I appreciate you.
You're
welcome. Have a great morning. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Brittany.
Best in the business joining us right there, Brittany Merlot. We appreciate her. And yes, just to piggyback off of that, the Wisconsin State, the 59th annual Wisconsin State Water Ski Championship, hosted by the Wisconsin Rapids Aqua Skiers, big shout out to them, is going on this week. It stands as the largest and longest running water ski show tournament globally.
Wow, that's just awesome.
4-day event, 23 of Wisconsin's premier water ski show teams and 72 individual competitors all come to town. Let's treat them good. Let's show them a good time and make sure that we have fun. And certainly get to this event if you can and take in all this for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
Also, keep in mind that effective at 6 a.m. on Thursday through 9 p.m. on July 20th, they will be asking everybody to stay away from the public, the area. And then no boating, no ski, don't try to compete. none of that, basically.
Yeah, keep the area clear for those that are participating in the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Melissa and I got a bunch of great fun things lined up for you. We'll get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club in a little bit. Should we ban left turns at intersections? I have not pre-read this one. I wanted to get into it with you, Melissa. We will dive into that a little bit later. And which WoW skill is secretly kind of easy, actually? Like, it may WoW you, but if you took the time, it might not be that hard. We got some entertainment news I want to get into. We're going to talk a little bit about Y'alternative, a new style of music that is interesting. We'll get into what's new on your small screen. And I've got a fun one for us. 10 celebrities with weird pets. That'd be a fun one to get into.
Mm-hmm.
We also have kind of a combination of stories, to me at least. The most and least popular states in America. Along with that, I have, if you're bored of where you are, we have cities that will pay you to move to them. I don't know why, but I felt like those were a good combination. So we will dive into those a little bit later. Looking forward to it. But starting off, it is morning. We are big fans of coffee around here.
Yeah.
Talking coffee a little bit. So Starbucks has been an interesting business to me. So much of their beginnings really start with grunge music and the alternative scene in Seattle blowing up. When we were kids, Seattle was looked at as a labor town, a blue collar area. You had a lot of anything involving wood. They were working on up there and stuff, and a lot of that. With the rise of the tech industry, with the rise of grunge music, Seattle started getting looked at a little bit more. You look at it now, and it's night and day between what it was 30 years ago and what it is now. Mm-hmm. And part of the rise of that was Starbucks coffee. And Starbucks kind of rode that momentum to a national fame, world fame. It's easily the most popular coffee brand there is, or coffee shop there is.
Definitely best well known.
Whether it was to their own degree or not, I don't know enough about their business and everything to tell you this, but that's everything, what comes up must come down. Mm-hmm. And just like McDonald's or Nike, some of the bigger brands of our lifetime have actually seen something that their boards of directors are freaking out over. They've stayed the same, or they've gone down a little bit in sales. None of these companies are going out of business. None of these companies are, but just a little hair of a difference, it's going to show. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing Starbucks advertising more than we've ever seen probably in our lifetime. Same thing with McDonald's. And with both of those companies, they're starting to lean into listening to their clients, their people, their customers. And one of the bigger things that customers have done, and I don't know if this is a younger generation thing or not, because I don't remember ever coming across this until really doing the morning show here, is secret menus. And secret menu items.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, a secret menu item is essentially asking them to make something for you. I hate onions on my burgers and asking for onions off of it. That's not exactly that, but just as a very boring loose example. Starbucks, though, for unlike McDonald's, where McDonald's has done this kind of tongue in cheek and done a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge with a lot of this stuff, Starbucks has been very adamant about, no, we're not doing secret menu items. No. Until today. Today, that changed. Starbucks is finally embracing the secret menu items. Social media has been joking about and talking about for over a decade. They just added four popular, quote, secret menu items to their app. And if you've got your own favorite drink, they're running a contest where the best new idea will win $25,000. You can submit ideas to Secret Menu Contest, Starbucks.com. I'm sure if you just go to their website, you can find it as well. You have until Sunday to enter, so they're doing this quick.
Yeah.
Four finalists will get $5,000 each, and then those four drinks will hit their app. The fans will vote on the next month. The winner will get an additional 25 Gs. To give you an idea of what they're looking for, here are four, quote, secret menu drinks that they added to the app. Number one, cookies on top. It's an order a cold brew with two pumps of vanilla syrup, then top it with cold foam and cookie crumbles.
Okay.
Dragon fruit glow up. Order a mango dragon fruit lemonade refresher, add their peach juice blend, and top it with vanilla cold foam. None of this dragon fruit leads to you being able to breathe fire. Did you know that, Melissa? I thought I'd give it a
try. It's a cold drink, too, which seems weird.
Yeah, really. Lemon tea and pearls. Black tea and lemonade plus raspberry-flavored popping pearls. I have no idea what I just said. It's basically a raspberry Arnold Palmer with boba balls. Oh, those boba balls.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it sounds like boba balls, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had those, but I know what they are. And just add white mocha. That's the name of it. Just add white mocha. An iced brown sugar oatmeal espresso plus two pumps of white chocolate mocha sauce and top it with cold foam.
Wow.
Those are the four drinks that they just added, but they're planning to swap in other secret menu items regularly. So that's another smart move, I think, by them, but not just, it won't get stale, the secret menu items. I do think that the whole secret menu item is a little bit of a
Well, it's a misnomer because it's going to be on their app, but just not on their board at the store or the drive-through. So the hook here is you got to buy the, or you got to get the download the app.
Yep. Yeah, and that's where the same thing with McDonald's. You know, where they're the only way you're getting these deals is if you download that app. And I don't know a single person, literally in my life around me or in the past. I'm guaranteeing in the future. There's, you know what my phone needs? More apps.
More apps.
Need more apps. Got to have more apps. Like it is. They're going to have to figure something else out with this, because and I'm not just meaning Starbucks or McDonald's. I mean, like, the tech industry. The
right. What's the next new thing?
Because apps are not. They're just not working. They for everyone that works, there are about 1,500 of them that nobody wants. And you're being forced to use these if you want to go to these places. And what they're seeing, and part of the reason where I began with this conversation of their sales going down for these big conglomerates that you never would have thought that happened to, is because they're pushing so many people towards apps. And for every person that has no problem, hey, I eat McDonald's every couple times a week, I don't mind downloading the app, there are a lot of people, a lot more people, that are like, I'll go to Burger King. You know, not to say that Burger King's any better, but
or they'll just walk inside and order yep. at the drive-thru, because, I mean, those still are options at this point.
and more people. Well, yeah, for now. Let's see how long that lasts. I don't know.
The other concerning thing about apps is how many permissions they ask for and what they do. What do they do with your data?
Data.
Do you read all of the small print? Heck no. Who does that?
No.
Should we? Yes, absolutely. We should. And we should be pushing back against some of this small print. But who's got the time for that, James? And that's what they're counting on.
Exactly. Because as long as I can remember, I don't know which the first digital signature I signed or whatever of, you know, hey, download the update, you know, and then read through the terms of, you know, and all that. They put it in such small print for obvious reasons.
Right.
There should be.
And you can skim it.
There should be laws against that small print. There should be laws against the way that they do that. It should not be on the consumer to do certain things. Now, personal responsibility, being an adult, accountability, I think is vital in life, and we are losing sight of a lot of that. Just like, I don't know if anybody caught this or not, but we've gotten rid of shame. Shame doesn't exist anymore. At least for certain people, it doesn't seem to. With something like that, we need to, if I'm a business, I am going to do everything I can to spoon feed this stuff to my consumers. That's how you stay in business. You work with the consumer. Like, it doesn't make any sense to just do. Very few things in life are one size fits all. And if you don't believe me, go ahead and wait. You'll find out. You'll find outside of hats, there aren't many things that are one size fits all. And when you try to take that model in business, no matter what the style of business, it don't end well. And this isn't an opinion of me. This is, you can listen to Warren Buffett. You can listen to people that know a lot more than I do about this stuff telling you that. And I don't feel like these companies are doing it. I can tell you this, in the sports world, they're darn sure not listening. They're really not listening. They don't care. They see dollar signs and that's it. And in this, like this current football season, never are you, I will call you, as far as hot takes, it's a big thing in sports, Melissa, you gotta have hot takes. My hot take, people are going to be barking a lot about being able to watch these games and where they can catch them. And wait a minute, I need to download this app and I need to have a Netflix account just to watch the Christmas games and blah, 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 and all this. You're going to be hearing a lot of it this year. Mm-hmm. And only half of it's going to be from me. Only half.
Oh, good.
We'll see where it goes. I can tell you this, El Cafe doesn't have an app. El Cafe doesn't need one.
That's right. They do have a Facebook page and they're a great follow.
Yes, and we will talk more about that when we come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR. You heard Pitbull. It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, everybody, at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Check out some of those great specials on their Facebook page or their website, elcafewi.com.
Mm-hmm. They're open today, and they got a great breakfast special up. I saw it. It was like two muffin sandwiches.
El Cafe Muffin Breakfast Sandwich.
Yes.
And the Everything Omelette are two of their big specials right now. They also got a Ham and Cheese Club that looks really good, too. But that El Cafe Muffin Breakfast Sandwich sounds amazing.
Because they're on... It's English muffins, yeah. Not like blueberry muffins.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, for a second, I was like, wow, would that be good? Mm. But the English muffins, they make a great sandwich. They really do.
Oh, they're perfect for it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be sure to check out that today. Wish them a good morning from all of us, everybody. Appreciate our friends over at El Cafe. Buy local, support local. Mm-hmm. Also, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. You can email us, info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
That's right, 715-424-2600.
We appreciate you calling in. Love hearing from you, everybody. Love those live birthdays and anniversaries. Get them to us. Mm-hmm. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
How about a one?
All right, gives us a go. There we go. And our first name up on the list is Bobby Kirkenhofer.
Happy birthday, Bobby.
Bobby's an old friend. She's fantastic. Wonderful person. A really, really amazing photographer. Fantastic nice. Photographer. And just a great person. We're wishing you a great birthday, Bobby. Enjoy your day.
Happy birthday.
And we also wish a very happy birthday to Wayne Dawson.
Happy birthday, Wayne.
Wayne is a new listener came right out the gate with that. He's like, nice. I'm new. He's like, okay. That's right.
Well, we're glad to have you here, Wayne, and happy birthday.
Appreciate you, Wayne. I didn't catch where Wayne is from, but yeah, he was very interested in what we do around here, and it was fun talking with him. And I was like, well, we do one of the things I mentioned was a birthday and anniversary club. He said he had a day coming up. And then we talked about if he could nominate himself, put his name on the list. I'm like, yes, you can.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go for it. And so look what happened. Wayne became our qualifier.
Like that.
That works. Happy birthday to both of you and everybody out there celebrating a birthday or anniversary.
Yeah. Head on over to El Cafe. You get a free piece of pie.
There is not a better way to celebrate. Get on over there. Mm-hmm. Looking at who you share your birthdays with, Yati Abdul-Mateen II is 39. Great actor. Black Manta in the Aquaman movies, the new Morpheus in the Matrix movies. He was Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen series, and that's where I saw him first, and he was incredible in there. He is also going to be in the MCU's Wonder Man. He's going to be the character there. He is not only an up-and-comer, he's here. He's there. He's established. He's really it's a tough name. There's no getting around it. But I think it's going to be as household as that name can get. Travis Fimmel is 46. Wonderful actor. Desmond Hart on the Dune series. Ragnar in the Vikings series. Very good actor. He's another one that's only going to he's done a lot of stuff in his home country. The more that he's getting noticed here in the States, casting directors are going to start using him in American stuff a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
The great Diane Kruger is 49. Abigail in the National Treasure movies. I've seen her in a bunch of stuff over the years. Very good actor. Mr. Fluffy is 49. Gabriel Iglesias. As he calls himself, Fluffy Comedian. So he got a couple of Netflix specials out there. He's been in a couple movies, too. He's pretty good. And then we've got a couple of 80s or 90s stars sharing birthdays. Brian Austin Green is 52. He was, of course, David on Beverly Hills 90210. And Scott Foley is 53. He was in Grey's Anatomy and Felicity and a couple of other shows.
Oh, I probably know him. I didn't know the first guy.
Scott Foley, I bet you'd know. If you looked at a picture of him, you'd probably know. Eddie Griffin is 57. One of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. I love Eddie Griffin. He's hilarious. Very, very funny comedian. Adam Savage is 58. Or is he? He's from Mythbusters. And I don't know. I think Adam looks a little younger. Maybe we should do a check. No, Adam Savage, 58. I really liked
that show.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of it, but what I saw, I liked. I thought it was a fun show. And a show, like one of those shows where if I had the chance when it was on, I probably would have binged it a lot. I love solving mysteries. I love finding the answers to things. And it seems like that. I felt like that's a lot of what that show was.
Yeah, it was. And they definitely did a lot of... risky things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jason Bonham is 59, son of Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham. John passed in 1980, but Jason takes his dad's place on drums when the surviving members of Led Zeppelin get together. He's a very well-established musician and very good. His father was, to me, one of my favorite drummers of all time, and was basically, if they did a live-action Muppets, his father, John Bonham, would have played Animal. Just incredible musician. And he's really picked up right after his dad. One of the best actors I've ever seen. Forrest Whitaker is 64. T'Challa in the Black Panther movies. He was Saw in the Rogue One. But The Last King of Scotland is probably his greatest work. Won an Oscar for that one. Forrest Whitaker, I wouldn't even know what number to throw out there with how many movies he's done in his career. I would not even be able to guess. If I said 100, I'd feel like I'd be lowballing it. And he's one of my biggest influences, in major part because of a lot of the interviews that I heard him do early on. Forrest Whitaker, if you've seen him, you see that his eye has a little bit of a lube to it in some of these things.
Yeah, you definitely recognize him. And I'm trying to look back to see, he was in Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a couple other ones from like the 80s and the 90s, definitely, that I recognize.
An incredible actor, but I think part of what is incredible to me about him is him being able to break through type, him being able to get cast with some of his appearance, which may seem shallow and selfish, or shallow, and I don't blame anybody that thinks that, but that's casting. Well, that's the world
such a big deal in Hollywood. You got to look so Hollywood perfect.
When you see actors like him that are able to break through because they're just that dang talented, that is a big influence to me. I really admire that, and I love his work. He's fantastic.
Yeah. He was on The Shield. He's done quite a bit of TV, too.
Yeah, I forget that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joe Satriani is 69, guitar god, has played with just about everybody. Incredible guitar player. He actually worked a lot with a couple of the members from Van Halen, too. Marky Ramon is 69, the Ramones drummer, speaking of drummers. See here, Linda Ronstadt is 79.
Wow.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Currently struggling with Parkinson's, and we feel for her and think of her. She's responsible for the formation of the Eagles. The original members of the band were all in her backing band.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with obviously being one of the more recognizable voices, her and so many
Blue
of
the Bayou. You're no good.
Blue Bayou.
Don't know much.
Just a wonderful artist and a very good voice actor, I know, because she did a spot on The Simpsons once. And she was very good. She was very good on there. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club. We wish everybody a happy birthday and anniversary that is celebrating out there. You enjoy your day and treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today and check out some of that amazing menu and great food and wonderful people they have over
there.
And
be astonished by the number of pies you have facing you. It's a very difficult choice, but they're all good.
And just end up looking at the waitress like, you pick. I can't decide.
What one's the best one today? And she'll reply all of them.
Yes, right, yes. Head on over there, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Melissa and I will be back after our news, sports, and entertainment break with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. We hope you're having a good one out there. Happy Tuesday to you. Melissa and James hanging out. This is an interesting one, Melissa.
Okay.
And this sounds like a good idea until you're running late for work and have to make three rights. A professor of civil engineering at Penn State thinks we should ban left turns at most intersections around the country. He says they're more dangerous than most people realize. Mm-hmm. Around 40% of all crashes happen at intersections, and over 60% of those crashes involve someone making a left.
Mm-hmm.
Half of them involve a serious injury, and one in five involve a fatality.
Oof.
So he says banning left turns at busy intersections would save a lot of lives. Another reason is to do it to make the intersections less efficient. Or another reason to do it is they make intersections less efficient. Green arrows make left turns safer, but then everyone else at the intersection has to wait just so a few cars can turn left.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks more cities should make left turns illegal, at least during rush hour. It would save lives and maybe get you to work a little faster.
Hmm.
I don't know if I'm smart enough for this one. I don't know if I if I am. I'm just being honest with the audience. I don't know if that's yeah, that's not what I know. A lot of people are doing nowadays. They know everything. Blah blah blah. I'm not that person. But I'll say this: I get a little tired, and I feel like we've seen this a lot in recent years. Of well, we can't count on people to do the right thing, so we're just going to come up with a device or an app or something like that. They've got an app right now that's gaining popularity because, say, you want to jump on Facebook. Well, before you do, you've got to do 10 push-ups. that kind of thing. I forget what it's called or whatever. And my,
isn't it like the Touchgrass app or
something like that? That. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And okay, so you're the way you're fighting your you know need to be on social media or need to go to it or whatever is by another app. Is you know so you don't want to go to these apps, so you're going to use an app to keep you from going to other apps. when basically willpower or just you know not doing it, and I know the it's not as simple as that, mm-hmm. but I do get a little tired of kind of like oh left turns are dangerous. Why are they dangerous? People. It's not the laws, it's not the cars, it's people. It's you know we've been driving a long time, we've been doing it this way a long time.
But they do also you know like cars used to not have safety belts, seat belts, and now they do, and it's a law. So I think there is some wiggle room in the conversation around this.
Definitely.
And I think that it's, you know, if we're examining data, like, you know, whoever did this study, obviously, they looked at all the different parameters and what would make intersections safer. One of the things that we are seeing even in our community are roundabouts. You don't make left turns then. Mm-hmm. You only make right turns. But you have the option to go out whichever road you need to versus you can't turn left here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so, and while there are a lot of complaints about roundabouts, mostly because we're just not used to them yet, and it takes time mm-hmm. to understand how they are. Have you seen those really huge ones, James, in like European countries?
It's I couldn't imagine.
Oh,
they got the one in Paris, the famous one in Paris, where I've heard
giant.
There's stories of people that have been stuck in it for like a half an hour and things like, there's it's crazy. But
I mean, that does solve the left turn yes. you know, safety issue. And accidents that do happen, they still happen in roundabouts, but they tend to be less severe because you're not having as much of the head-on mm-hmm. crashes mm-hmm. and the force. I mean, obviously, there's going to be data about that as well, but...
You know, I am one of the things that our previous mayor Blazer talked to us about a little bit was some of the behind the scenes stuff and some things. And one of the things he mentioned was, at least at the time, roundabouts often are cheaper for cities to build than you know just your regular old street or your regular old intersection.
Well, there's no lights involved.
And I bring that up in part because one of my very first thoughts with this conversation is this is okay. This is great. Anything that makes driving safer, I'm all for. Who's paying for it? Who's going to pay for this? If we're going to get rid of left turns, are we going to start just, you know, when we're building new things, we're just going to build, you know, we're not going to make as many left turns? Or are we going back to our roads and cities, the roads in our cities that have been there for decades and decades, and we're going to, you know, revamp them, reimagine them, change them? I'm all in favor for that. To me, you can't put a price tag out there that I'm going to take over people. That's me. But I'm also not in charge of anything. And we are seeing right now cut after cut after cut. Whether you're in favor of them or not, you're seeing cuts all over the place. You're telling me they're going to put money into infrastructure? you're telling me they're going to do anything about this when it comes? And again, this is not at all a critique on politics. This is just working with the data we're given from this administration. Mm-hmm. They don't care about safety. They're taking funding from that. Mm-hmm. They don't. They are much more of the mind of, hey, you figure it out. And states figuring it out. And that's again, you know, to each your own, what you think of that. But you can't, anybody, I don't care who you're voting for, you can't tell me that the current administration is going to put money into infrastructure. I mean, please call me up right now and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I don't see that happening. So this is a great conversation, and I really like the idea where it's going and the idea of reimagining these things. Again, if it makes it safer, wonderful. Who's going to pay for it?
Well, and I have seen, like, there are certain intersections in certain places. I don't think there's any that I've seen really here. Where left turn, they put up a sign, no left turns. So a sign isn't all that expensive, but the enforcement of it kind of falls on people then also. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that sign says I can't turn left. I got to not do that.
Have you?
And you know, we can see what is happening with 8th Street and the repairs on that and how long it's taken. And we've talked with Scott Krug about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got some very strong opinions and feelings about that particular reconstruction process and how long it's taken and the direction that they've started with that. But as some of these repairs need to be done, obviously DOT and even cities and counties plan these out so far in advance because they have to, because they need to secure the funding. But our roads are in a lot of places, we can see it deteriorating. So when these things do have to be fixed, maybe we need to look at all options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to be following this one, see where it takes us. A Washington woman earned a Guinness World Record for her collection of 4,060 different jigsaw puzzles. My mother is going to challenge her. Liza Fireman, 46, of Bellevue, told Guinness World Records she started collecting puzzles in 2019, and she has since accumulated thousands of designs, mostly from her favorite manufacturer, Ravensburger. It's a great name for...
And they make great puzzles.
That's a great name. I've never heard that before, which is weird because my mother has been about puzzles my whole life.
Well, maybe you've just never looked at who
I
made
guess,
them.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. Quote, I didn't set out to break the world record. I just fell in love with puzzling, Fireman said, but not just any puzzles. Ravensburg puzzles, I love their quality, their design, the history of puzzles. It just became a passion. She said that this collection, this collection was enough to take the Guinness World Record for the largest collection of jigsaw puzzles from John Walziak, whose collection was tallied back over 2022, back in 2023. Her collection includes numerous Disney puzzles, as well as puzzles based on TV series and James Bond franchise and Hello Kitty and all that. Quote, if I kept all the puzzles I did in a year, I could easily carpet my house with puzzles.
Oh, wow.
my mom and dad, I don't know if they've, I think they've talked about this, but I don't know if they've come across one that they want to do it with yet. When they put together the puzzle and then they I don't know what they do,
but they put the puzzle glue over top of it and you frame it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
It is, and especially with those really big puzzles. Mm-hmm. That I particularly, my favorite puzzles are like landscapes or really cool looking rooms. The last one I did was like this bookstore, and it had a curved staircase, and it had different bookshelves all over, and like the counter and the door going outside. It was a really pretty puzzle. And that would be one that would work as wall art.
Yeah, yeah, no, that thing. Sounds like it would. Yeah, I don't know. I dig this for this lady. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let my mother know right away when they get.
Are you sure you want to do that, James?
I kind of do. There's a little the it's her fault that I'm like this. I get it from her, the instigator in me. I get it from her. I just want to say, hey, mom, see this lady's challenging you. And then the house is just going to be filled with puzzles. It's just going to be stacked.
Happen.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, got an interesting one here. Which wow skill is secretly super easy to learn? We'll get into that when we come back on the morning show right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. I know that growing up, one of the things I there was a couple of little things that I used to do that would just wow my brother and sister, like playing spoons. Doing that, or the thumb trick where you make your thumb disappear.
or you separate your two fingers.
So I can picture their faces right now, them just sitting there and entertaining them when the while we were trying to figure out how to get cable or something like that. Mm-hmm. And as they got older, they of course realized, oh, my brother's not magic. my brother's
it's not that hard.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of where we're going with this next article. We all know that feeling. You're hanging out on the porch, hanging out, and all of a sudden your friend comes out and says, "Hey, you know what? I can breathe fire." And maybe that's just my friends. That's seriously something that happened to me. Shout out to my buddy Steve. We're sitting out on this porch, just hanging out, and all of a sudden Steve's like, "Hey, by the way, I've been learning to breathe fire," and just started to do it in his front yard, and it was amazing.
Oh my!
He's very good at it. He's really talented, and that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, don't just try that one without some training.
But once Steve told us what he did and how he trained and how he learned to do it, it actually didn't seem that difficult. And ooh. I think that there's some kind of things like that, these wow skills that are kind of actually easy to learn once you figure it out. But it doesn't take away the wow factor, I think. If anything, I hope these things incentivize people to try them themselves or try something themselves. Like origami. I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. It does take practice. It's there's definitely a learning curve for that one.
It's certainly going to be people that are better at it than others, but definitely one of those things that if you really want to, I think that if you practice and work at it, you can probably learn to do.
Oh, yeah.
Magic is another one. Like that. And I don't know that we're talking about you being, David Copperfield or something, but maybe.
Yeah, but
you know,
like card tricks or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiding a rabbit in a hat.
I had a character that had to learn how to do the whole, quarter out of your ear thing and learned how to do that for that.
Cool.
Lock picking. No. That just I don't care if you're even doing it to your own house. Like this is only a skill that is going to lead to bad things. I don't ask me how I know that. I'm just telling you. That's I'm sure one too. Here's a great.
And I think it's one that we've all like wanted to do as kids, spy stories and adventure stories. I want to learn how to pick locks.
Yeah, absolutely. Any kid that's watched your size, 100% there. I like this one. And this is one that I've actually been doing my whole life. Learning the sky. Stars and constellations at night, and even being able to provide a basic weather forecast by looking at cloud types and formations. I don't know if Brittany realizes this or not, but that's one of my favorite things about talking to her. It's kind of just like picking up these little things that she touches on. She's so sharing of information and how she knows these things and how she learns these things.
Oh, yeah. She's so knowledgeable when it comes to all of the different things that go into why we have the weather we have, and I love how she explains it.
I loved being able to take my kids out, actually not too far from here, where our old apartment was, and we'd go out at night, and just point at the constellations and being able to say that's the Big Dipper or something like that. Like, it just I love that kind of thing.
Yeah, when we were kids, my dad took us up on the roof a couple times, and it was a really clear night, and we'd lay up there and look at the stars. It was cool.
Balloon animals. You can pick it up in a few hours and be the life of any family party with kids. It seems a lot. That one seems tough to me. I don't say impossible by any means, but it does seem tougher.
Yeah, it's kind of like origami. It's the practicing. And, the hardest thing, the first thing you have to figure out and learn how to do is blow up the dang balloon.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought
about
it.
Or you have one of those little pumps.
Right. Yes. Basic clothes mending and altering. You don't need a sewing machine for a lot of it. And I kind of back off from the mic on this one for you, but listen, this is more your wheelhouse. This is more.
Well, it's actually something I've been really getting into here recently. I do have a sewing machine, but there is a fair amount that you can do just hand stitching. It does take more time, and you need, but all you need is a needle, thread, and a scissors, and maybe some scrap fabric.
Out of all of these, I would. This is the one that seems like it would be the most useful in day-to-day life. A lot of these are a little bit more of entertainment value, where this one, not to say it doesn't have entertainment value, but this one seems like one that would come in really in handy.
It's one of those things that it's just a good thing to know, like how to sew on a button, because buttons fall off.
Yeah, right.
To be able to wear those clothes, you kind of need buttons.
Next, knots.
Mm.
I don't remember a whole lot of them, and I miss my grandfather every day, but he'd be so mad at me right now if I said that he heard me say that out loud, because he's the one that taught me so many of them. That's a kind of a fun one for kids to learn, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and like when I went down to Historic Point Boss and for the Scout Camperee, mm-hmm. They were showing me how all the different knots that they could tie to put together different, you know, structures, and just the way that different knots work differently. It's really neat. And like with sail, when you're on a sailboat, you got to know some different knots.
Yeah, yeah.
I use different knots with the fiber art that I do with weaving. There's a lot of knots involved.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know, knitting, crocheting, sewing even. You need to know how to tie some simple knots.
I don't know if I've ever shared this or not with anybody, let alone on the air, but when my grandfather was first teaching me these things, and he was teaching me very military-based stuff and a lot of that, I was also just learning to tie my shoes. And I went through a lot of laces because I just thought that I should use some of these knots on my shoelaces. I mean, I didn't understand why wouldn't you, you know?
And then you couldn't get them untied.
They had to literally cut them like with the scissors. Had to come
off. Oh, boy.
But it showed that I learned the knots. I learned how to do them.
There you go.
They didn't see it that way. They did not see it that way.
That is something that if you don't practice it, you forget. You know, it's just like any skill. If you don't keep using it, you lose it.
I think similar off of that, juggling three balls. It looks impressive, but you can learn to do it in about a weekend.
I've dabbled with that now and then. Like, I can get all three up in the air, mm-hmm. and maybe catch a couple of them. But yeah, it takes practice. An easy way to learn is to use like really light handkerchiefs.
Oh, that
or
is good.
Even Kleenexes. I mean, it's harder with Kleenexes. If you have some decent handkerchiefs, cloth handkerchiefs that are light, that they float a little bit, so you have time to catch them with your hands. You just do it the opposite way. Instead of like how you toss balls up, turn your hands over so that your fingers are facing down and you toss the other way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Juggling is one of those things that kind of seems like it'd be kind of fun to know how to do.
Yeah, it's a cool skill.
Mm. And you could learn four or five chords on the guitar and play a ton of different songs. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would be surprised how many songs on guitar, at least, don't really use that many chords.
Yeah. And if you want to go even easier, ukulele.
Yes.
Because it's easier to push down the strings. And there's one less string.
Yeah.
And a lot of chords only require you to hold down one string at a time. So
I have I've got a bunch of different bookmarks and folders on my computer and everything. And one of them is for just, items that you will probably never buy, James. There's a mandolin that's been on there forever that I want so bad, because I feel like if I were to actually buy it, because of the way my guilty conscience works, I'm not just going to buy it. I'm going to learn to play it. Mm. And that's an instrument I've always wanted. That, a violin, there's a couple of string instruments I've always wanted to learn. When I learned to play trumpet and cornet, I enjoyed them, but the whole time all I wanted to do was learn to play one of those instruments.
String instruments.
Yeah, I really like those. And it's something that feels like something I just got to do.
Well, you've got time.
And finally on the list, although there are plenty of more things on the list that you could get into, you can go to askreddit.com if you'd like to find the complete list. Moonwalking. Now, it may seem difficult, but I guarantee you, if you got two left feet, everybody, you can do this. I learned to do it as a kid watching Michael. It was one of those early things that I taught myself, and a long history of that. And Melissa, I haven't done it in a long time, but I am standing up right now. I got to see if I can do it. I got to see if.
Yes, can you do it?
Yep.
Because it does. Yeah.
These shoes aren't the greatest for it, but yeah.
And you're on carpet, so that's.
And I can still do it, even with all that. Yeah. Come on. Because it's really a rhythm thing. You're really, what you're doing is, you're the back, it's like you don't have a heel. You got to treat it like you don't have a heel. And just kind of, you're just going on the balls of your feet, kind of sliding. And it looks really cool. Like, it'll never get old. That's one move that will never get old, no matter who you are. the coolest thing is teaching it to a little kid. And once they get it down, like, it really, I guess, the majority of these things, that when you can teach them to somebody younger or something like that, when they, you see the look on their face when they get it. That's,
that light bulb goes on. It's a fun moment.
There are a few things that are more rewarding than that. It's a really cool feeling. So I think that's a fun list. That's a lot of interesting things on there. And all things that I think, especially, you know, you're looking for something to do, or you're looking for things to, just learn. I think learning's just fun sometimes, and it doesn't always
keeps us young.
Yes, yes. And as you and I have talked about, and we've talked about on this show quite a bit, we want your brain healthy, everybody. We want your brain healthy the older you get, no matter if you are 18 or you are 88. You are who we're talking to, and doing things like this, that is how you keep your brain healthy. That's how you keep your brain active, is finding new activities and giving it challenges.
And many of these things don't cost much money, if any.
Yeah, that's another big key to this, I think. I think that, you know, even if you were, they don't sound that great. There's other options out there. Or even just giving something a try that seems a little interesting. I have to say that as soon as you said that about the juggling, now I got to try that. I was literally thinking, do I have three handkerchiefs? Do I have? I think that's a really cool. I've never heard that before. I think that's a really good way to do it. I like it. We like hanging out with you, everybody. We got another hour to do that. We are going to come back next hour. Not only will we have some good stories of the day, some local events going on in our area, and get into our schedule, but we are going to have some entertainment news. Got some fun stuff there we're going to get into. We're going to talk about what is a Y'alternative. We are going to look at what's new on your small screen. 10 celebrities with weird pets. I want to ask Melissa about the newsletter. And a little bit later, the most and least popular states in America, along with, if you're bored of one of those cities, if you happen to live in one, we found cities that'll pay you to move to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's all coming up with Melissa and James right here at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.